All right, so today's scripture reading is Acts 3, 1 through 10. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Hey, great job reading that. I was getting excited. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
I'm enjoying this nice, I like cold weather. I like cooler weather. And I also like the sun. So we're getting a little bit of that. So it's sort of nice. But today, kids, you're dismissed for children's church. Yeah. Should we have 1, 2, 3 takers? 4, okay, there we go. Anyway, it's good to see all of you. I've been, there's a little bit of my southern, my New Orleans roots just came out there. It's good to see you, all y'all. All y'all, yeah. So, but.
It's good to see you too.
Yes. Yeah, it's funny, the only slang term in the English language that, I can address all of you, say hello to all of you with just one word, y'all. So anyway, but it's slang. But today we've been going through this series and it's been really good. I think it's really good for us to stop and take a look and see how is it we hear phrases about seeing about Jesus and Jesus colored glasses and what would Jesus do and all that. But here taking a really good look at it and just saying, what would Jesus actually see in this situation? And today we're looking at this healing at the Gate Beautiful. But I want to just start off, I titled this Dare to See Outside the Box. Let's start off talking about a story when I first became a Christian, and I've shared some of this before, but I was actually homeless in a homeless shelter. I got a job, and then I moved in with this family who I'd met at the homeless shelter. And they were believers, and I'll tell you, not perfect believers, but they were believers, and I was living, and we moved to a different town. We're staying in this single wide. There's 5 of us staying in a single wide, old style. For Jill and Robert, we were talking about that single wide mobile home of the older style, a really small place. But we're staying there, and we're praying all the time about, okay, God, lead us, give us money. We see little provisions here and there, and I could tell a few other stories, but there's one here that really impacted me early on in my Christian walk about seeing outside the box. Here we are. We were going to get up that morning. We were going to go down and look for jobs, go to the unemployment office. We were going to hit Salvation Army, some other places. We didn't have a refrigerator. We're going to hit all these different places. But really what we needed some money. We needed food. We needed all types of things. And we didn't have it. So all of a sudden I hear a shout from his bedroom in the morning after the kids went to school. He's like, "Thank you, Lord." And I'm like, "What in the world?" Anyway, a few minutes later he comes out in his robe and he says, "I don't know what it is, but the Lord spoke to me this morning and I was reading the Bible. He said, coin purse to me." Okay, whatever. Anyway, So we go on through the day, and, you know, Miss Clinton, that's all he's talking about all day. It is so strong in his heart, and I'm getting sick and tired. He's like distracted. Every time we went by a Goodwill type store, and he's wanting to go in, and he's even looking at the Salvation Army store when we're there. Everywhere we're going, he's looking for a coin purse. He's looking and looking and looking for this coin purse. And I'm like, we need to get set up on unemployment. We need to do this. We have these things that need to get done. All he can think about is a coin purse. And we lived about 8 miles outside of town, and there was a bus that took. The last bus left at like 6:30. I don't know. It's so long ago, I can't remember. But it was dark. I can't remember the time of year. But it was getting dark, and I know we were going to miss the last bus. And here comes this lady. She says, we're standing at the bus stop. She says, hey, can you guys help me? And I'm thinking, we have to catch the bus. It's like 3 minutes till the last bus leaves. Otherwise, we have to walk 8 miles. Yes, we can. Anyway, she has this whole display. She sold art and antiques and that sort of stuff. And she has this whole horse we're bringing in. But the whole horse, this mannequin-type horse, was all to display this saddlebag that was the original Pony Express saddlebag. Anyway, and I'm just like, okay, now we're walking. Man, what's up with this guy? And then she says, you know what the most amazing thing about this is I found? And I didn't find any of the writings, but if you look, there's this secret compartment in here. And she says, look, there's a coin purse inside of here, and this is where they kept their money to be hidden from people who might rob them. And I could see both of us was like, and of course his eyes were like, yeah. Anyway, in the end, she gave us $100 for spending 10 minutes doing that. And again, this is early. That's probably closer to like $300 now. She gave us $100. We walked back home. But guess what? We had some money that we didn't have. And I just tell you, I was so stuck that this guy's just, he's unfocused, he's doing this, but you know what? He saw outside the box. He saw outside the box. And I think that's sort of what happened here in this account. Peter saw outside the box. He had a routine that was interrupted to be able to minister to somebody. This is someone he had seen before, but he was willing to see with the eyes of Jesus this time. Second thing is, this is the first specific miracle performed by anyone after Jesus rose from the dead. And it sets a precedent that to see with the eyes of Jesus means that we don't just, my writing here doesn't make sense in my notes. But it sets a precedent that we're not just to see, oh, that's what Jesus sees, and then move on. We are the ones who are supposed to, when we see something, we are supposed to do something about it. It sets the precedent. At the end, I'm going to call everyone up who'd say yes to these kinds of ideas, and we're just going to pray a simple prayer over you. But someone will pray with each one of you, one that you could see with the eyes of Jesus. And also commission you to go forth with the power of the Holy Spirit to minister to those around you. So Jesus has called us to see outside the box just how he did. The first thing that comes to my mind is Jesus healed on the Sabbath. That was outside the box. He healed on the Sabbath. But I think every one of the accounts we've gone through in this series, we see that Jesus is seeing outside of the box. The woman at the well, he sees outside of the box. He sees outside of the social norms. The story of the Good Samaritan points to the fact that we're seeing outside of the box. The two blind men on the side of the road, again, we are seeing that Jesus sees outside of the box. The healing of the woman with the issue of blood, again, Jesus is seeing outside of the box? Are you willing to open up your eyes to see outside of the box? So again, what happened here in this account was outside of the box. We have, real simple, we have the day of Pentecost happens, and amazing things happen. We have 3,000 people come to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. We then have time where the disciples are coming together and they're praying and more are added to their numbers. And then we have this happen. They're going in to pray. They're walking into the temple. And here, Peter and John, they look over and they both notice the beggar. And basically say, I don't have anything to give you, but what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Amazing story. The guy, they go, which by the way, a little side note here, this could be a whole message on this, which by the way, I was talking to Evan yesterday, I think, and I was saying, you know, believe it or not, this is a very, I had to really just decide, let's stick with a couple points, because this is probably would be my favorite thing to preach of out of Acts, maybe besides the day of Pentecost. It's sort of hard to know. But a little side thing here is that after they said, get up, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk, they went out, reached out their hand, and helped him get up. So there's a whole other message there. But they go and they help him get up and walk. He gets up. And everyone around is amazed, and guess what? If we read on further, we see that Peter gets to preach again. And it says, after that day, there were 5,000 to their name. So here we had three. We don't know how many came, and we don't know the time period, but you know, I'm going to say that probably 1,000 people or more see this happen, and they give their lives to the Lord. An amazing time in the church history. And, you know, I meant to bring it up here, but it's, again, a little side note, but can you just, that book, I meant to bring it up here. I've been reading a book just accounting for all the revivals, just many, many snippets of it throughout the history of the church, of the New Testament church. Well, they even go into the Old Testament revivals, too, in the Bible. And I'll tell you, no matter what you might hear people say, when you start reading through that, you see that there is revival and has been going on all over. These types of things that we're talking about here, and I'm not just talking about miracles of healing. You could sort of get sidetracked by that. But it's just amazing that, you know, one time when New York City was about half the size of Portland is right now, they had 50,000 people every day going to churches and praying on their lunch hour. 50,000 people. Can you imagine if 100,000 people were doing that today in Portland? Because that would be the equivalent numbers. 50,000 people. Businesses were closing. Other things. There's other times where you have a community of 500. We're talking, this is 300 years ago, I think. Community of 500. They have a meeting. And the Holy Spirit's moving. And guess what? They come back a few days later, 8,000 people have shown up. There is no cell phones, there's no telephones at all. Mail couldn't have done it. They have 8,000 people just saying, I had dreams that I need to come, and I don't even know why, and they show up. Accounts of, again, if you take St. John's zip code, where 10% of the population in 1 week gives their lives to the Lord. That'd be 3,200 people in our zip code right here in 1 week giving their lives to the Lord. So when I talk about miracles, when I talk about what's going on here, I don't want to just get focused on healing or anything else. Yes, are we talking about that? But yes, there are miracles, and they've been going on forever. So first of all, that wasn't in my notes at all. Just, but anyway, sorry, let's get back on story. So we have this Yeah, so we have this amazing things happening here in the beginning of Acts. Actually, all through the book of Acts, it's an amazing, just action-packed. You want action? Read about David in the Old Testament, or read the book of Acts. So this guy here, I mentioned something that was, I said it as fact, so it's more of an assumption, but it says that this guy was set at the temple. This guy who was lame, who was injured, who couldn't get up, he sat there every day, his whole life. He was crippled from birth, and it says that every day. Now, years ago, I really looked into the language here, and the language here means that he was set there every day. Now, most people would probably assume that was probably from the time he was a young adult on up, but the thing is this is every day. Also, the language also means, by the language, again, we don't always get this in translations, this guy was an older adult. He was not a 20-year-old. So it wasn't just that he'd been out there for a year or two. He'd been out there for years, every day. There's no way that disciples, and even Jesus himself, had not seen this beggar before. There's no way. All the times they went into the temple and all the other things, if he was there every day his whole life. And they had to have heard his cries, begging. And back then there was no food stamps. There wasn't that sort of stuff. So people, when they did this, they were good at it. They knew how to get your attention. I bet you not only did they know his cries, I bet you they even knew his story. They probably knew his story. But what happened this day was different. It was the appointed day. Peter and John were willing to see with the eyes of Jesus and say to that man, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Again, they went and helped him up. But what I want to say here is don't let their normal life, someone else's normal life, stop you. Are there people in your life where there are norms for years and years and years? Maybe they normally reject prayer. They're normally fine living in the rut they're in. No matter how much you try and bring them out of it, they turn back. Many others have tried to help and failed, even those more anointed than you. Maybe one of us, you say, oh, well, Pastor Kelly has talked to that person, and they didn't even respond to him. So who am I to go talk to that person? Well, guess what? Jesus, we can pretty much safely assume that Jesus had seen this person and hadn't healed him yet. So just because you say, oh, well, other people have talked to him about Christ, other people have tried to pray for that person, don't let that stop you. Don't let that stop you. Be aware of when Jesus is clearing up your vision to see those special moments. See outside of the box of their normal lives. You know, for those of you who were here and you, for when we had Anya, Sean came and did her concert, one of the most powerful things from that night, I've heard her story before, but she emphasized part of it. She says, you know, my parents never gave up. My parents never gave up. Even when it all looked hopeless, they'd still say, hey, you want to come to church? She'd say no, over and over. Can I pray with you? And she was just resistant to that. You know that you need to let Jesus help you. All these things, resistant. But guess what? They didn't give up. And she encouraged everyone who was here not to give up. Not to give up. But not only, we say, don't let their normal life, or what's been normal for them, stop you from seeing with the eyes of Jesus. I also want to say, don't let your normal life stop you. I want to look back. I We'll go back a chapter. Let's just look at what was happening. All the believers. Day of Pentecost happens. Peter preaches. 3,000 people give their lives to the Lord. Then we have this. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. They had a system in place. And God was moving. There were miraculous signs and wonders. People were being added every day. They had a system that was working. And part of it was they worshiped together at the temple each day. My guess is, here we have, right, just a few verses later, they're going to the temple for their daily prayer. Peter had a routine that was working. It goes on to say that, again, they were growing rapidly every day. Thing is, he stopped and he allowed the Spirit to interrupt him and open up his eyes and see with the eyes of Jesus and look over there. Again, it wasn't here. They looked, it was a distance that they looked away and they just locked eyes with the man and said, and they just knew that God was getting ready to move. And they went with it. They didn't go, oh, I'm going to be late for prayer. I need to go talk to somebody. I need to go do this. I've been doing this every day and it's worked and we're having success. No, they were open to having their routine messed up a little. They're open to having the scene with the eyes of Jesus. And if you are doing that, I'm going to tell you, your routine's going to get messed up every once in a while. The things that are working, you're going to jump away from them and do something else. So, imagine you. You're late for church. You've been getting blessed at church every day. You're late for church. You're supposed to be doing whatever your responsibility is. We actually have an amazingly, almost everyone in this room has some responsibility. We have amazing, truly amazing group of people here. Whatever it is you're supposed to do, and you're even running late for that. And on your way, you're stopped by a homeless person in need of help. You may even go, oh, I'm helping feed homeless people at the food bank. Do I need to stop and help them, pray with them, do whatever? Help them pick up their shopping cart that tipped over? Or do we stop and help them? Or do we see with the eyes of Jesus and help them? Or do we say, I need to get to church where I'm blessed. And if I'm blessed, then I can help other people. Maybe Jesus is calling you to see outside of the box and out of your routine. In 1 Samuel 15, it says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen better than the fat of rams. But I want to put this different. Let's take it outside of normal spiritual stuff, like church, churchy stuff. What if Jesus wants to interrupt time helping your kids with homework? That's important, isn't it? What about a date night with your spouse? Now, if you do that, definitely communicate with your spouse. Don't just come home 2 hours late and say, oh, I was doing ministry. I was doing what Jesus told me to do. But are you willing to let Jesus interrupt date night with your spouse? Your perfect attendance at work, maybe your perfect credit score. I help someone out. If I help out my neighbor pay their electric bill with $150, I'm not going to be able to pay mine. But what if Jesus is opening up your eyes to see the need and calling you? Are we willing to let our normal life be interrupted? to see with the eyes of Jesus. Now, as soon as Kelly played a song, he played a song with his last message, I instantly knew a song to play for mine. And by the way, it's another Keith Green song. And I tell you, just anyone out here with aspirations to be a preacher, those couple of preachers are still in the room. If you ever have a hard word to tell somebody and you're just not sure how to do it, just play, there's a Keith Green song for it. There is. And so here, you do have lyrics on the passage, but if we could just play the song and just listen to it. It's a hard listen. But
see all the people sinking down. Don't you care? Don't you care? Are you gonna let them drown? How can you be so numb not to care if they come? You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. Oh, bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. You know, it's all I ever hear. No one aches, no one hurts, no one even sheds one tear. But he cries, he weeps, he bleeds, and he cares for your needs. And you just lay back and keep soaking it in. Away. You see the need, you hear the cries, so how can you delay? God's calling, and you're the one, but like Jonah, you're on. He's told you to speak, but you keep holding it in. Church just can't fight, cause it's asleep in the light. How can you be so dead when you've been so well fed? Jesus rose from the grave, and you can't even get out of bed. Love.
last part, whether you get the part, but it's the transformation. It's where we are seen with the eyes of Jesus and saying to someone else, come away with me, my love. We are being Jesus to those people. And we're inviting them to say, come away with me, my love. This brings me, again, this will be the last thing. It's been underlying everything I've been saying, but who is it who is Jesus called to do his work? Us? I hear one us. Yeah, many of them. Yeah, us. There we go. Hey, that's hey, I'm me. Me and us. I mean, it's, yeah.
Y'all.
Yes. In our series here, this is the first miracle we are looking at where Jesus is not doing it, or Jesus isn't the one speaking about what's going on. And that's the main reason why I want to hit home the point that it's us, we, y'all, me, that are to do the things, that are to be Jesus. And I've hammered this home over and over again. But I want to make it very clear that God has called each and every one of you to do his work. These are not accounts that we read to get some knowledge so that we understand better. It is so that we see how to do ministry. I've brought this point into almost all of my sermons lately, and I do it, again, without hesitation or apology. So you've probably heard these scriptures before, out of my mouth, from being up here. Romans 10:14, how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? In Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance as our way of life. This means that you are the ones who can pray with your coworker and family members. You are the ones who can share the gospel. I know. What? You can't tell them Jesus paid the penalty for your sin so that you can live in freedom now and in eternity? There you go. There's your training. I mean, we overdo it. There's your training. You just had it. You can share the gospel. Help your neighbor who's in need. It doesn't need to be a ministry of the church. You can go do it yourself. Who here would say, yes, I want to be seen with the eyes of Jesus? I want to be seen with the eyes of Jesus. Amen. Saying yes to seeing past what has been the norm for someone else. Saying yes to seeing past your normal things that may be even good and healthy things, but they're just the norm, looking past them. Saying yes to the fact that you are willing to be the one bringing the message of hope and deliverance to the captives. Again, I'm going to ask that question again with an expecting response. Yes, are you willing to say yes to the fact that you are willing to be one of the ones bringing the message of hope and deliverance to the captives? Yes. Yes. Thank you. For those of you who say yes, whether you did it vocally or not, I mentioned at the end I was going to come up. We're going to be up here, just going to be Stephanie and I and maybe some others, but I have a prayer that we're going to pray over everyone. Again, my hope is that all of you are saying yes, I want to do that. And this worship team could start coming up. But saying yes, you're saying yes to that. We want to commission you officially just to say yes. You are commissioned to go out into your neighborhood and help. Commissioned to go out into your neighborhood. And we want to pray that you are also empowered to do that. With that, as they're praying, go ahead and I just come on up and we'll pray for you. and commission you to go into your community and be Jesus to your community and to see with the eyes of Jesus.
As we're getting ready to do that, I've been just thinking here, you know, I was like, Lord, did I pick the right song, you know? Because we're going to do Break Every Chain. But I think you can see this in two different ways. And I have to tune my guitar when it gets knocked over. But the first one is, maybe there's things in your life, fear, that just holds you back. And you just see that, and you're just like, I don't want that fear to hold me back anymore. Jesus has the power to break the chain of fear in your life, or whatever it might be. Or maybe you just have people that have lived they've been there forever, and that was part of your message. You know, they walked by this guy many, many times. And you're just like, this person will never change. No, Jesus has the power to change people's lives. Maybe we look at our culture and say, everybody just seems against Jesus and the gospel. God has the power to change that in the hearts and lives of people. Amen? So, we're going to believe Jesus also while you're getting prayed for to break every chain.
Break every chain, break.